Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice to read your word. And Lord, we approach it now very sacredly. What we're about to embark upon, of course, is serious and important. And Lord, the teaching of your word and the receiving of the teaching of your word is a serious matter. And Lord, we thank you that we can come here together. This is Wednesday night. It's Bible study time. And we can just take your word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And Lord, hopefully, Lord, in the process of all of this, our faith will deepen. Lord, our zeal will increase. Lord, we'll have a heart to want to obey what we learn. And Lord, that we ultimately would be conformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I pray that those things that might distract, Lord, us, that those things would be bound and kept from our minds. That you would allow us, Lord, even in the weariness of the middle of a work week, to focus and to learn and to grow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject tonight, missions giving. Missions giving. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, and then verse 14 through verse number 19 address this very specifically, missions giving. Let me re-educate our church. I'm going to keep saying this over and over and over because I think that every single person in all aspects and areas of our Christian life ought to be very biblical in carrying out the duties of being a Christian. Let me teach you a little something, and I've taught it, and I'm going to teach it a bunch more in the future. I want God to speak to your heart about this. One of the greatest privileges for any Christian is to be a giver. Amen. One of the things that I rejoice in as much as anything that God allows me to do for him is in giving. I really mean that. I can't say that that's always been true. I think sometimes you start something out of obedience or out of duty. Sometimes you do something out of fear. All right. By the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think if we had a little more of the fear of the Lord, we'd have a whole lot less foolishness going on in the world today. Amen. The book of Proverbs talks about that, spends a lot of time talking about the fear of the Lord and what it does for you. I think foundationally, there ought to be such an awe and a reverence and respect and, yes, a fear for God that even when every other motive fails, we ought to hit down to rock bottom where, you know what, if for no other reason, we ought to do it because God is God. But I think that I've had to grow into this. I found out this the more I have been open to this and been given, I think, by God, the grace to give. Because I think giving is a grace. It's a grace given. But as I've been allowed of God to be, that he's given me more of a grace to give, I will tell you that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And you will get to the point where it's not a duty, it's not a drudgery. It becomes a very enjoyable thing. Then it becomes something that you love. And something that you look forward to, something that you want to participate in, and that's a wonderful place when you grow into that part of your Christian life. We have offering envelopes, whether you use them or not. I think that they are a good tool for explaining biblical giving. First of all, let me talk about giving. Number one priority in giving is in your tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Now, we've provided you with an envelope, and this is a tithe envelope. I know that it's also multi-purpose, but this is the envelope I use to give my tithes and offerings. And I give tithe and offering into this. When I put this in that envelope and mark it for my tithe or tithe and offerings, everything that goes into that envelope will be put into the general account here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it will go to meet the basic needs to keep the church running. It keeps those fans twirling. It keeps the lights on. It supports the ministries. It puts gas in the buses. I mean, it pays a staff salary and your pastor's salary. It takes care of paying insurance on the building and insurance on the vehicles. It's the lubrication, if you'll let me say, that keeps the machinery rolling around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is number one. This is first and foremost. This is number one priority. Tithes and offerings goes into this envelope. And then after that, there's missions giving. We're going to talk about that tonight. Just a few minutes ago, I took out of my billfold an envelope that looks just like this. It has what I have promised to the Lord to weekly give towards missions this year. And every single week during one of the offering times, I'll pull out of my billfold a missions offering envelope. And I'm going to talk about this specifically, but this is a direct command, aside from tithes and offerings that supports the church, we should be giving towards missions. Then there is a building fund envelope. This will not disappear once our building's built. I think this ought to be a regular part of every Christian's giving. It ought to be a regular weekly part of your giving. Whether we're building, whether we're not building, we ought to be giving towards that. This helps build new buildings and maintain the buildings that we have. And every week I'll pull one of these out of my billfold and put it in for one of the offerings. Then on this offering also, I think there's four areas of giving that is Bible-based. I'm not going through all the scriptures and reteaching this. You can go back and ask in the tape room, and they can look up the date on this. But I taught very specifically through the scripture this. But there's also a place on there that says special offering. And sometimes there's just some specific need to which we need to take a special offering. For instance, this weekend, and we don't do this with everybody that comes through, and I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he would like me to do this, but we've got the Walker family coming. They're driving an RV. That's how they stay on the road. They're in full-time evangelism. They've got several children. You'll get to meet them. It takes a lot of gas to get an RV down the road. It takes a lot of money to support a large family. I think evangelists, I'll talk a little bit about this tonight, I think evangelists are missionaries. I really do. I think we got to get out of our mind foreign missions and home missions. To me, anything after you walk out that door right there is the mission field. And whether a guy's starting a church in North Carolina or North Korea, well, good luck if he is. But it's still missions. Missions is reaching lost people. Missions is church planting in areas where there's no churches. Missions is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But we will on Sunday night, and I'll tell you this ahead of time now, so you can be praying about this. But after the service is over, we've taken our regular tithes and offerings, and service is complete on Sunday night, we'll take another offering. Every once in a while, you'll see your pastor do this, where we'll empty the plates and reshuffle and say, now we're going to give an offering, and everything that we give will go directly to the Walker family to help with their expenses and travel. And, you know, at that point, what we do is it's entirely at that point between you and the Lord. This is, you've decided in advance tithes and offerings. You've made a commitment towards missions. You've made a weekly commitment towards the building fund. And I hope you've done those things. But at this point, this is one of those times when you go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And whatever the Lord tells you to do, then you do that. Actually, that's what you do on all the other three also, okay? But you set those things. And then, but on this, God may speak to your heart in an unusual way to give a little more sometime, a little less sometime. But whatever the Lord speaks to your heart about, that's what you ought to do. Now, church, listen to me. If we get every family in a church to follow that pattern right there, I'm telling you, we would be, first of all, biblically correct. And secondly, I think a lot of things would fall into place that ought to fall into place. Tithes and offerings, missions giving, building fund, special offerings as the needs are presented to us. Now, tonight, having said that, I'm going to take this little envelope right here, and this is what we're going to speak about tonight. Because the Bible, in our portion of Scripture that we are scheduled to teach through, is talking and speaking about missions giving. Missions giving. Missions giving is an important part of the giving of any Christian. Missions giving. Missions giving is very biblical, very scriptural. This is just one portion of scripture we can learn about missions giving, but we're going to take some time and learn about that. So let's get into the scripture. Let's get into the Bible study. Are we ready? I'm going to give you seven statements about missions giving tonight. Seven statements, seven Bible principles that we'll draw right from the scripture out of this portion of scripture about missions giving. Number one, missions giving greatly, put that in quotations, missions giving greatly rejoices the heart of the missionary. Missions giving greatly rejoices the heart of the missionary. Verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord, how? Greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, what I get from this verse, or one of the things I get from this verse is this. When I give to missions, it does a lot of things. But one of the things it does is it encourages or greatly rejoices the heart of a missionary. I don't think most of us, whether we've taken missions trips, how many of you ever been on a missions trip before? Would you raise your hand? Now, you probably have a little better idea than someone who does not. But the idea that we can get on a plane and fly and visit a missionary for 3 or 4 days and come back with a full understanding of what it is to live there and serve there, I think we're kidding ourselves. Let me just say this. I talk to a lot of missionaries, and I speak to a lot of missionaries. I'm very candid with the questions that I ask. I'm concerned about our missionaries. One of the things I do is I watch very carefully the wording of our missionary letters. Listen to me. I watch very carefully the wording of our missionary letters. Say, what are you looking for, Brother Jerry? Something to nitpick about or criticize? No. I look for any missionary letter that comes in. And by the way, every one that comes in, before it's posted on that board, the preacher, I read every single one of them. And I'm looking for a hint of discouragement. Now, if you went down that road right now and read everyone carefully and prayerfully, you would come back and say, Brother Jerry, I'm concerned about some of our missionaries. You know why? Because, folks, listen to me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And out of the abundance of the heart, the hand writeth. And there's nothing wrong with it, by the way. It doesn't make them bad people. How many of you have never been discouraged? How many of you have never gone through a time of discouragement in your life? Never been there. Never had that valley. Well, sometimes missionaries go through difficult times. I could mention a couple right now that I've been praying especially for, that I'm concerned about. You can read by the tone of their letter. Now, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. The ministry period is sometimes rough. But you take that ministry and you take it to a foreign country and you add culture shock and you add homesickness and you add loneliness and you add all the things that go into it. Let me just say this. We need to take every opportunity we can to greatly rejoice the heart of a missionary when we get a chance. Now, when I sense that and I see that, what I try to do is I take time to write them a letter, or I'll send them an email. Or sometimes, if I feel like the Lord's prompting me to, I'll make one of those long-distance foreign calls. The problem is I'm not real good at figuring the time changes. And so I have had a few missionaries that were more discouraged after I woke them up at 3 a.m. than they were encouraged that I had called. But let me just say this, folks. You know what I think is a monthly encouragement to a missionary receiving a check from Blessed Hope Baptist Church? You know, there's just something about seeing that come in that says, hey, people haven't forgot about me. And you know what? There's churches back home that care about me. And missions giving greatly rejoices the heart of a missionary. And that, what that means is that when I take this envelope tonight like I did and put it in the plate, one of the things that I have done, helped to do, is rejoice, greatly rejoice the heart of a missionary that may be discouraged or may be facing some of discouragement. Now, let me say this to finish out the verse. Because of this, because this is true, if you have opportunity, take it. Did you hear what I said? If you have opportunity, take it. Look at this verse. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Now, he's not chewing them out here, because notice what he says. Wherein you were also careful. They were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. They knew Paul's needs. They were concerned about Paul's needs, but they had lacked the opportunity to get to him what they know he needed. Now, listen, I mean, we're not, folks, we live in a different age. I mean, we have literally given Brother Townsley a check, for instance, to help Luke out with the airplane tickets. And he would deposit it, and within 24 or 48 hours, that money could be wired from a bank in Indianapolis to the Dominican Republic, and he could have that right there in his account. Now, we're not talking about that back in these days. Sometimes, between the time of hearing of a missionary need, can you imagine the time span it would take just to get news home? And meeting that need was some time. Now, what I like about this church is this. Listen, sometimes they couldn't do what they wanted to do because they lacked opportunity. But when they had the opportunity, they took it. Now, let me give you a great key to any kind of giving. When God presents you an opportunity to give and speaks to your heart about giving, take it. You will never regret it. You will never regret it. Keep your giving antenna up. Keep your giving eyes open. Keep a giving heart. I've had many, many, and most, I will just tell you this, most missionaries, most evangelists that I think have any kind of integrity, and most of them that come through here do this, they'll come to me at the end of a meeting and they'll say, I want you to know, Brother Jerry, that three of your people came and put money in my hand this week. And they'll tell me that. Now, by the way, they don't have to tell me that, but I'm always very impressed when they do tell me that. Now, that never affects what we give them. But I like the fact that a missionary is honest with the preacher about what his people is given. But can I say this? Thank you. I think that's wonderful. I think that there's going to be times that people come through here and God's going to speak to your heart in the middle of a service and say, you know what? You have a little extra. Why don't you slip something in their hand at the end of the service? Why don't you, listen, in the years of me being in the ministry, there's been times when I've gone to churches to preach. There's been times when I've been at different places and times in my own church where we've had people come up and just give us something extra. Just because why? God told them to. And I'm going to tell you this. In my dealings is this. I have never faced a situation where there was an opportunity to give. God spoke to my heart about that opportunity, and I gave it where I've ever regretted it. And so missions giving greatly rejoices, number one, the heart of the missionary. Well, I'm going to have to hurry. Number two, let's look at verse number 14. Can I just say this real quick? Missions giving is the right thing to do. Missions giving is the right thing to do. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Missions giving is the right thing to do. If I had no other Bible principle that encouraged me to give to missions, verse 14 would be enough. God's precious, inspired, and preserved word states this. If you give to missions, ye have well done. You know what that's telling me? Missions giving is the right thing to do. Now, notice this word communicate. You have well done. That ye did communicate, that word means share, that ye did share with my affliction. By the way, that word affliction is the word pressure. Pressure. I mean, look it up. That's the root word for that. It's talking about pressure. Interesting, isn't it? I can tell you in the ministry, there's a lot of pressure. I think on the foreign mission field, or let's say a missionary work that is a home-based missionary work. I'm talking a faith-based. Somebody goes out. I've been there. I've done it. Other people have done it. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of pressure in the ministry. There's a lot of pressure. Now, some of that pressure is spiritual pressure. Some of that pressure is a spiritual battle. But some of that pressure is just plain old financial pressure. And what happens when somebody communicates to them or shares to them or gives to them, it relieves some of that pressure. Now, I want you to think about this. Matter of fact, let me have you just turn there. And I want to just take a moment on this. Galatians chapter 6. I think this is good that you know. Now, what are you doing, Brother Jerry? I'm standing up here, and I'm representing our missionaries tonight, and I'm telling you why it's important to have a heart to give. I'm opening the Bible, and I'm giving you a little biblical instruction in this matter of missions giving. Now, it's the right thing to do. Why? Because we're supposed to share. Why? Because it helps relieve the pressure. Now notice, if you will, Galatians chapter 6, if you will, Galatians chapter 6. And then it says in verse number 6, notice this, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now, I'm going to share something with you here in a minute, but it's interesting that we hardly ever connect verse 6 with verse 7, 8, and 9. And I've heard probably, I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached, preached myself or heard preached on sowing and reaping. But very seldom is verse 7, 8, and 9 connected to verse number 6. The case of the teaching brother, it says here, "Let him that is taught in the word," okay, "communicate," or "share again unto him that teacheth in all good things." Then it goes on to say this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, why did all of a sudden we start talking about sowing? Because it's talking about somebody who is being fed, someone that's being taken care of, somebody that's being spiritually nourished, and their responsibility then to return or communicate or share back in the carnal things, if you'll let me say that, or the worldly things, or the earthly needs of the person who's communicating. Now, why do we give missions? You say, "Brother Jerry, those missionaries back there don't communicate the word of God to us." Now, listen to me. What they are doing is they're going somewhere and communicating the word of God on a frontline basis. They're church planting, they're church starting. They do not have a congregation that is built up, that is capable of communicating back to them and meeting all of their needs. And so that's why we get an opportunity to go above and beyond of just not communicating to or taking care of the men of God that God has brought to our church, but also then to say there are churches being started, there are mission churches being planted, whether they're here or abroad. Those people do not have the congregation that can fulfill and bear the burden. So you know what? We're going to help bear that burden. And we're going to step in place of that. And that's really what missions giving is. Missions giving is the right thing. What does it do? It communicates. It shares. It relieves pressure. Let me have you now quickly go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And again, I think it's good that we look at some scriptures every once in a while to help remind us of things. Missions giving is the right thing to do. Why? Because it's our duty, it's our responsibility, biblical responsibility, to share with some that are under financial pressure. Why are they under that pressure? They're under that pressure because they're church planting. They're doing mission work. Well, folks, when you go to church plant, you don't have a congregation that can take care of you. Now, when that congregation gets to the point where it's big enough and healthy enough to take care of that preacher, then they ought to take care of that preacher. But you know what? There's going to be new work started where that's not possible, and that's what missions giving goes to, okay, to help to make sure that that's taken care of. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" Now, I want you to stop and think about this. A lot of our soldiers are over there, and we've got Daniel over there. We've got others in our area over there. We've got thousands of troops right now on foreign soil. They're over there, and they have gone to warfare. And don't think that this isn't a war, folks. It is a war. There's a lot of crazy things going on right now. "But who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" And what that basically means is, all right, somebody decides that they want to fulfill the duty of their country, so they go and they join the army, or they join one of the armed forces, okay? And they've made themselves willing or available to go into a wartime situation. Now, it would be ludicrous for the recruiter to say, all right, you're joining, okay, sign right here on the dotted line, very good, okay, now, what you'll need first of all to do is go out and buy uniforms. And then you'll have to buy a gun. And then you'll have to buy your boots. And then you'll have to buy your helmet. And then you'll have to buy your Jeep. And by the way, go buy a tank because we need one. So you go out and you buy a tank. And then you buy the food that you're going to need. And you say, wait a minute. Now you have to buy an airplane ticket so that you can fly to Afghanistan or to Baghdad. Now you're going to have to pay for that. To get over, and you say, well, Brother Jerry, my goodness sakes. Well, folks, listen to me. It's absolutely just as wrong to expect some missionary to go and fight God's battles. and send them to a field and say, you know what? You're going into... By the way, young people, let me say this. I have all the respect. You know I do. You know I have spearheaded Operation Think of It. You know that I have profound respect for the veterans and those that are in active military personnel. But let me remind all the young people here, there's another war going on. And it's been going on nonstop for 6,000 years.
Amen.
And it's a war against the devil, and it's a war for souls.
Yes, sir.
And it needs recruits.
Yes, sir.
Needs young people to step up. By the way, there's a lot more at stake in this war.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Eternity's at stake. Okay, are you listening to me? But, and so what he's saying here is this. Who goeth to wartime anytime at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk thereof? These say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope that should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, this is what I want to get to. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, this is a great thing if we reap your carnal things. And this is the God's plan to take care of God's men, whether they be preachers, evangelists, missionaries. They're out fighting a war. They're out working in a vineyard. They're out working for the souls of men. They're communicating and meeting the spiritual needs of God's people. Now, it is wrong for us to expect them to give that and then us not take care of their carnal or earthly needs. Now, what happens is there's pressure. There's a lot of spiritual pressure on those in full-time Christian work. Now, on top of that, they should not have financial pressure. Are you listening? There's a lot of pressure on those in full-time work. On top of that, they should not have financial pressure. If they're going to take care of the spiritual needs, then we ought to step up and take care of the carnal needs. And boy, we need a revival of this in southern Indiana. We need a revival of this in America. This idea of, well, preacher is supposed to carry the spiritual burdens of the church, but we're not obligated to take care of his carnal needs is ridiculous. The idea that missionaries are supposed to go out and win the world, but our church don't want it, you know. Well, we've got 75 missionaries. Well, that's great. Yeah, we support each one for $10 a piece. Well, that might pay for the letters they send every... Are you thinking with me? I think we just got to understand that, folks, listen to me. If we expect to see spiritual victories, then sometimes we have to sacrifice to take care of carnal needs. And that's Bible. Amen. Oh, King James 1611 Bible. It's still in there. Amen. Missions giving. Let me say this, summarize. Missions giving is the right thing to do. Missions giving is the right thing to do. Now, let me give you number three. We must rush on. Look back, if you will, at verse number 15 in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 14, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Well, I want to take a lot of time on here, but I'm just going to summarize. Let me give you something. Eager and faithful missions giving is the earmark of a healthy church. Eager and faithful missions giving is the earmark of a healthy church. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye also. You know what that means? The church of Ephesus didn't send it to him. The church of Corinth didn't send it to him. The church of Galatia didn't send it to him. A lot of churches that Paul sent started didn't communicate with him. You know the spearhead church when it came to missions giving and supporting Paul? And he says here, you want to underline these phrases? No church. But ye only. He said, I didn't receive anything from anybody else, but I'm going to tell you something. I could count on the church of Philippi. They got it through to me somehow. Now, can I share something with you? Are you thinking tonight? Are you awake? We've studied all through this book. Where's the church problems? Where's the rebuke? Where's Paul having to take five or six chapters to fix this nonsense or not? Can I say this? Missions, eager and faithful missions giving is the earmark of a healthy church. Now that chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul has to take an entire chapter, which is ridiculous, but it's part of God's word, and use logic and reasoning to get the church of Corinth to loosen the purse strings and help missionaries and take care of their pastor, maybe the fact that he had to take a whole chapter to do that reflects the fact that he had to take a whole chapter to deal with a lot of other foolish things. Now, I will tell you this. I believe that eager and faithful missions giving, and again, missions just isn't foreign missions. It starts all the way. I think this, missions, can I say this? And you not accuse me of being selfish? Mission starts at home. Yes. Mission starts at taking care of your own pastor and your own pastoral staff. Then it expands out there into your Judeas and your Samarias and to the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. You show me a church. I've said this for years. And churches, listen, it's none of my business. All my business is Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But I'm telling you right now, there's churches that have struggled for years and churches that don't have the blessing of God. And you know why it is? They won't take care of their pastors. They won't take care of their preachers. They've starved men. They've mistreated men. And they can't figure out why they can't get the blessing of God on their church. I'm just telling you, you're not going to win that thing. Now, you show me a church where they take care of their pastor. You know what? He carries our spiritual needs. We're going to take care of his financial needs. He carries a lot of the spiritual pressure. We're going to see to it we alleviate other pressures. You show me a church that does that. You show me a church where you can walk in and you can go down a place like Missionary Hall or a missionary board, and you know what? That church is generous in missions giving. I will tell you, most of the time, you will not see a bunch of deep-rooted problems in that church, because I think that eager and faithful missions giving is the earmark of a healthy, healthy church. Isn't that interesting? Now, let me just point out one more thing from this. Notice this. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, and he's talking about his gospel ministry here, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, notice this. Philippi was also the first supporting church of Paul. Now, think about this. I just want to give you this as a quick thought. You know, somebody's got to be the first church that takes on a missionary. Somebody's got to be the first church that gets them, that groups with another church to get them up to 10%. I met a preacher one time, and again, it's none of my business. I mean, hey, he can do whatever he wants, but I think he's wrong. But he said, we won't support any missionary that hasn't already raised 75% of their support. And I asked him, what if every church in America had that policy? Well, I don't want to support them for 3 or 4 years while they're on deputation. What do you think they're doing on deputation? You don't think they're soul winning? You don't think they're preaching? You don't think they're in the ministry? Well, when they really get in the ministry, well, they're in the ministry when they're on deputation. They're preaching and traveling more than they ever will in their life. They also have more expenses than they probably ever will have in their life. What a egghead point. I'm sorry, that doesn't even make good logical sense, let alone biblical sense. So the church of Philippi said, oh, Paul, you're going? Has anybody supported you? Well, no. Well, let us be the first one. We'll sign up first. We'll get you up to 1% or 5% or 6%. We'll be that flag stiff. I'm telling you, eager and faithful missions giving. Isn't it interesting that the first church that was stepped up in line to say, we'll support you, is also, of all the churches that Paul ever wrote, the one with the least problems. You know why? Because they had their heart right. How do you know that, Brother Jerry? Because whether or not your heart is right, you can write this down, you can send letters wherever you want to send, but I'm telling you, your giving reflects the condition of your heart. 100% absolutely your giving reflects the condition of your heart. Number 4, we've got to hurry on. Now let's look at verse number 16. Let me give you the principle. Kind, timely giving is never forgotten by those blessed by it. Kind, timely giving is never forgotten by those blessed by it. Now, Paul just seems to make an offhand remark in verse number 16, but nothing is in the Bible without purpose. He says this. He said, you were the first ones when I left Macedonia to send something to me. And then he says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once again into my necessity. You know what? Paul said, you know what? I remember when I was in Thessalonica, and I remember when somebody showed up and said, here's from the church of Philippi. It took us a while to get it here, but here you go. You know what? Have you been there? I bet everybody in this room can relate to what I'm about to say. Whether you know, I'm not a missionary. You'll still be able to relate to it. Kind, timely giving is never forgotten by those that are blessed by it.
Right. Yes,
I could stand here, and I want to be careful doing it, but I could stand here and tell you story after story that happened in my ministry, 10, 15, 20, even in my college days. There's some things that I forget. But one of the things that's very interesting is this. When you are in a time of need, and somebody kindly and thoughtfully and in a spirit-led manner sees to that need and provides something and is used of God to channel something your way when you are in desperate need, you will never forget that the rest of your life. And I can sit here and tell you stories. There was times when we needed groceries and nobody in the world knew we needed groceries, but somebody was impressed by the Holy Spirit and saw to our needs. And you know what? I could tell you when, I could tell you where we lived, and I could tell you who it was. There was a time me and Cheryl went over when we were starting the church, a new storefront church in Brazil, and Dad invited us over at Wilford, the Wilford Church, to come and preach one night. And afterwards, they had a pounding. Isn't that scary? Yeah, invite a guy over and then pound him. Now, I didn't even know what that was. Some of you know what it is. Some of you are shaking your head. What that is, it's kind of an old term. It's an old-fashioned thing where everybody bring a pound of something. And they'd throw it all in a box, and then they'd give it to the person that came. And they gave us a love gift, financial, but they also gave us a pounding. And, man, we loaded the back seat. Now, how can I remember that? All the thousands of things that happened in my ministry, how come I remember that? The same reason you're thinking about what you're thinking about. Same reason when you were at the low spot and somebody cared and somebody gave, you've never forgotten it. Now, listen to me. Kind, timely giving is never forgotten by those blessed by it. Every once in a while, I'll talk to Rusty Biber. And you know what he'll inevitably bring up pretty often? Is the time we took a group of kids to New York when they were trying... No, West Virginia. I'm sorry, West Virginia, when they were trying to start the church in Sistersville. And we went over to help them for a week. And some of you young people in this room was on that trip. But you know what? We said, we're not just going to go there and visit for them and try to... Well, one of the things we did, just several things, but one of the things we did was we loaded the back of that bus full of groceries. And when we first got there, our teenagers carried in, I'm not kidding you, boxes. You remember that? Boxes. And Sister Sarah was sitting in the living room. And literally around her feet, that entire living room floor, because of the generosity of the people at this church, who, before we left, came and brought stuff after stuff after stuff. We filled the living room. And we had no idea how badly they needed it, but God did. I guarantee you, they never forgot it. Never forgot it. You know, what? See, Brother Joe, you're emotional here. Yeah, because I've been on both ends of it. I don't think we understand how spiritual and how eternal it is to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to give. I don't think we understand sometimes how devastating it to someone in need it is for us to have impressed upon our heart a need to give and then just fritter that opportunity away. You see. And so think about that. Kind, timely giving is never forgotten by those blessed by it. Okay? Number five. I'm in a hurry. There's other things I want to tell you there. We're going to go on. Missions giving, number five, produces a harvest of souls. And the fruit is partially credited to the givers. Verse number 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, Brother Jerry, why do you read every single missions letter that comes through here? Because I want to see what's going on in my account. Why are you so excited when a soul's saved on the mission field? Because some of that just got chalked up to my account. Remember, I just put that envelope in tonight. You know, why do you get excited when someone says, man, we've seen in the last 6 months, we've seen 212 people saved on the mission field? I'm going to get a reward for that. Some of that got credited to my account and to your account if you're a missions giver. That's exciting to me. You see, somebody's life was salvaged. I never even met them. I've never set foot on in their town, in their house, let alone in their... I haven't even been in their country. But I'm going to get credit for it. Some of that went on my account. Man alive. You see, that's exciting to me. When I give to missions and I read missionary letters everything that's happening over there, I'm getting partial credit for, and I'm going to receive that credit at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Woo! Man, I like giving. I like missions giving. Man alive, folks, you talk about an easy way to get rewards. No, honestly. Good night. You don't have to get out of the house. You don't have to go knock a door. You didn't have to run a bus around. You know, just give to missions. You know, no, I'm kidding. I think you probably ought to work at doing some of it yourself, too. Man, you talk about bonus points. You talk about free bonus points. You know, I mean, you know how much effort it took? I had to reach over and pick up an envelope and open it, slide money in it. The hardest part was going, oh, that stuff's nasty. And then you've seen this. I actually had to take my billfold out and drop it in the plate. And God says, you know what? Everything that's happening back in that hallway, bud, you just got partial credit for it. Woo! Thank you. Seems nice. Number 6, missions giving refuels the missionary and rejoices the Lord. Verse number 18. Missions giving refuels the missionary and rejoices the Lord. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That's what it done to the missionary. You know what he said? But I have all and abound. Why does he have all and abound? Because he received what they sent him. He said, hey man, today's a good day. Cupboards are full. Bills are paid. Needs are met. I was able to buy a new pair of sandals and replace an old coat that was torn and tattered and buy some gospel tracts. You know what? It's a good day. Thank you very much. It's a good day. It refuels the missionary. But notice this, it also rejoices the Lord. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, what I'm trying to sell you on tonight is this idea of missions giving. It's good stuff. You see, a little bit from everybody goes a long way. And a weekly commitment to missions giving and just making that a part of your life. And every year looking at it and saying, God, can I do more? Refuels the missionary and rejoices the heart. Number 7, we'll be done here. Missions giving secures from God a promise that our needs in turn will be met. Now stop grabbing verse 19 and yanking it out of context and waving it like a magic wand that God owes you your needs. Oh, I have a promise. I don't have to worry about it, Brother Jerry. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, folks, that's attached to a bunch of other verses here. What it's saying is, you show me the person that gives their tithes and offerings and gives their missions and contributes to the building fund. And when a special offering is taken, has an open heart and says, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And not just when a special offering is taken. I think that special offering isn't just when a preacher walks up. I think it's opportunities that you pass that God may bring across your path just in the course of every day. Where God speaks to your heart and says, there's somebody that has a need. You need to do something about it. And you do that. You're open to doing that. You're willing to do that. Then, you know what? If you can say that and you're faithful in those matters, then you can say with assurance, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Missions giving secures from God a promise that our needs in turn will be met. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, I've just got to make sure that we're secure for the future. I got to make sure that we have what we need. I mean, I can't be silly in this matter of giving because I'm saving here and I've got this IRA here and I'm fattening this account up here. And I'm going to tell you the smartest way to prepare for retirement. And that's just be involved in giving. Being involved, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I'm not against the other things I mentioned. I'm just saying, the best way to secure a long-term, you know, that IRA, folks, is all dependent on what the stock market does. There's a lot of factors out there, but you know what? This promise is totally dependent upon according to his riches in glory. The only way I don't get this promise is if God goes broke. Okay? I mean, the honest truth is, the whole financial infrastructure of our country probably, I know I'm not a scare tactic person, but probably is in more of a precarious situation than any of us really realize. But this financial infrastructure is solid. It's so solid, they're taking gold and paving the streets. Now, you tell me any place you've got your money where that organization is paving their driveway with gold and building their buildings out of pearls and using precious stones for foundations. Yeah. So we're going to be determined that this much money is going to go here, but we're going to be skimpy in this sure bet. Again, I'm not against wise saving. I'm not against preparing for. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying we're a little crazy when it comes to this stuff sometimes, and I'm glad that God has promised to supply the needs of those that are generous in this matter of missions giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless us in this matter. And Lord, help us to be faithful in this matter of stewardship. Help us to be constantly sensitive, Lord, to your Holy Spirit leading in all that we do. And Lord, I thank you that you're a God that challenges us to prove you. Lord, you're a God that will owe no man anything. And Lord, I thank you that you're far generous, far generous, far generous to us than we deserve. Help us to adopt that same personality trait from you that you bestow upon us. Help us to be generous and aware and careful. And Lord, when we have opportunity to take advantage of it, Lord, according to your Holy Spirit would lead in each life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.